FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have reaction and interviews from the weekend match between FC United and Gainsborough Trinity from Saturday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with Tuesday night's match at Stainton Park, and FC United progress to the next round of the FA Trophy following a fierce encounter at Radcliffe.
Michael Potts, the skipper, wearing number 8, brings it forward. Plays out to the left-hand side to Dodd. Dodd chips it down the line there. Decent-looking ball. And Owolabi into the box. Oh. And brought down.
He's giving it this time.
And a penalty. Well, pretty straightforward, really.
A couple of complaints, but from where we are, which is at the other end of the pitch, it looked a bit clear-cut, didn't it?
Yeah, there's not a huge amount of protest here. It was a great ball through, wasn't it, which Alabi got on the end of, and I think he'll be taking the penalty. Cameron Belford enjoys a light-hearted chat with some supporters just in front of us here, but down at the other end, a serious work is for Owolabi.
25 minutes on the clock.
And Ollie Martin has had a decent game, one particularly. Good stop, and he's got some goalkeeping to do now as he tries to keep out Owolabi, who looks to open the scoring from the penalty spot for FC United. The referee seems particularly...
Well, the ball keeps moving off the spot.
Referee just making sure that it's where it should be. Seems to be okay now. Owolabi takes paces back, prepares to take this penalty. Here comes Owolabi. Oh, it's a beautiful penalty to the keeper's left, and the keeper went that way. But it was so perfectly placed, Ben, that he couldn't keep it out.
Given all the rigmarole he had to go through then for that 2 minutes or so between foul and penalty, I think he took that rather well.
Excellent. Well, pretty much a flawless penalty. Plays it forward. Buckley tries to get on the end of it, but it's collected now and cleared there by Smith. And foul there. So an FC player, Doyle, goes down. Holding his face here, it was Mitchley, who was on a yellow card, who was the player who appeared to have made contact. The referee being slightly surrounded by FC players. There's Mr. Croft and Doyle down.
It's a red card, and it's for Danny Mitchley.
Mitchley, yeah.
And I think it was a straight red, you know.
Well, there's players coming over from Ratcliffe, physio on for FC. Well, he's not gone. Mitchley, who's already on a yellow card, if he did swing an arm in any way, he was being really unwise. And he's still on the field complaining as he finally... No, I think he's still there. Still, the referee's not going to change his mind. Well, Doyle's gone down and he stayed down, which suggests there was some considerable contact here.
It's not been a good 4 minutes for Radcliffe. A goal down and now a man down.
Well, Doyle remains down there. Potts back to Morris. Morris hugging the right-hand touchline, plays it forward. Owolabi will pursue. Owolabi beats his man. Oh. And he's given a penalty.
Yeah, I think it was, and again.
And what happened was Owolabi there steaming through and just a leg out there from the defender. And I think it's Swaby Neven. But the ball, I think, might have been going out of play.
Who could say with Tundy's pace?
Well, we saw what Owolabi did last time. Perfect placement, left-hand side of the keeper. Here he goes again. Owolabi, and this time it's safe. Rebound! Oh, and Owolabi couldn't control it. Well, Owolabi went the other way this time, and it wasn't as good a penalty. Nice height for the keeper. Keeper went the right way. Comfortable save. Opportunity missed for FC to double the lead. Now it's Griffiths. Griffiths, cross ball, switches play. Lenehan. Lenehan brings it infield, but it's taken off his laces there. Lenehan there, trying to recover the ball now.
That's an atrocious challenge.
Going absolutely hell for that's leather atrocious. With that challenge. And the referee...
It's a red.
It's a red card, and they're down to 9 men. It was also a foolish challenge.
Metcalf. It was just high, really high.
But also, Lenehan wasn't going anywhere. He was kind of back to goal on the edge of the box.
He was on the touchline over on the far side, not too far from the home dugout. He was about to do a drag back to keep the ball in play. And Metcalf's just gone right into him, off the ground. I don't think he could complain at that, can he?
No, he can't. And the irony is, of course, that that's arisen from the penalty save.
I'll go back to what we said 1 minute into this game, James. It's going to be a tasty one, this one.
Well, we didn't know the half of it. So, 7 minutes just under to go. Ratcliffe corner, right-hand side, and it comes. Good delivery, far post. Rather vertical header from Jones, but FC can bring it away now. Chance of a break for FC. Griffiths plays it forward. Sells his man short, though, and Ratcliffe can try and bring this away, but FC trying to get control of the ball. Lenehan, Prince Hayward play, volleys it forward. It's nodded down. Griffiths trying to control this ball. Surrounded by blue shirts. Hits him in the chest. He goes down, but Owolabi now over halfway. Owolabi being pursued by three Jeez. Blue shirts, and he's brought down.
It's another bad challenge from Prince Hayward, but...
Well, Prince Hayward remonstrating for his life here, but referee Mr. Croft not at all interested, and it will be a free kick in a nice position. This is within range for Charlie Ennis. It's to the keeper's right.
Basically, when Sunday got the ball, four Ratcliffe players, which is nearly
threaded through now. Linney! Oh, good goalkeeping.
Oh, that's over the line. That is over the line.
It got the line. Warren tried to keep it out, but that was really quick thinking. I've never been a great fan of quick free kicks, but that was well executed. Linney played it through there. The shot was on. And
I think they're remonstrating that why is it taken quickly. But
and is there going to be a yellow card for somebody for opening his mouth once or twice too often? Just went over the line, that.
What I was about to say before I was rudely interrupted by that goal was just that when Tundy got that ball, four players from Ratcliffe go straight over to him, which is nearly half the team.
It's half the outfield team.
It did cross the line, though.
It did cross the line, and good positioning from the referee's assistant.
FC Live there from Tuesday night, covering that 2-0 win for FC United over Ratcliffe in the FA Trophy. Women's team news now, and FC United on Sunday afternoon travelled to Merseyside to take on Mosley Hill Athletic. And the Reds maintained their 100% start to the league campaign with a 3-0 win, with goals coming from Kirsty Chambers, Emily Marsh and Jordan Bailey. Next up for the women's team will be a home clash this coming Sunday, as FC United will be hosting Sir Tom Finney FC. 2 p.m. kickoff, and if you cannot make it in person, we'll have full commentary here on FC Radio. And finally for this week's news, following that Tuesday night match against Ratcliffe, it's been a busy week for the treatment room at Broadhurst Park, and on Friday Ben caught up with FC United manager Neil Reynolds for an update.
So Neil, a big thank you for joining us on a Friday night. First things first, we have to talk briefly about the Battle of Stainton Park, as I like to call it nowadays. Quite an evening. How are we looking on the injury front?
Well, Ben, it was seen like from WWF sometimes on Tuesday night, but you know, thankfully, you know, we've done a lot of work with the injured players this week. You know, they've been very professional. Our physio's given up a lot of time this week, and you know, delighted to say that Chris Doyle will be fit for tomorrow. Despite probably wearing a bandage around his head, Michael Potts will be fit for tomorrow. Alex Curran will be back for tomorrow. And the other lads, especially Chundi, who took bumps and bruises on Tuesday night, will all be fit for tomorrow. So, you know, it wasn't nice to see you get players come under some of the treatment we did Tuesday night, but really glad with our discipline on the whole, and I'm really glad to get the result. And we've got a fully fit squad, bar the suspended Luke Griffiths for the game against Gateshead tomorrow.
I was going to say, I mean, it was a very disciplined performance, and I jokingly asked you the question post match on Tuesday. Obviously, Luke Griffiths got his book in, that goes without saying, so he'll be out. But all credit to Liv, we should say, as on Tuesday night, and like you say, a lot of work going on in the background there to get those players fit for tomorrow.
I mean, what a huge compliment. I mean, Chris Doyle went to the hospital on Tuesday night, and the surgeons who were looking at him said that our physio did a wonderful job. I wasn't going to open up the butterfly stitches. So, you know, that's a massive credit to Olivia. She works tirelessly behind the scenes to ensure that players are fit. She gives them individual programmes. You know, it's kind of the stuff that people don't see, and we don't talk about it a lot. She's been extremely busy this week, and you know, she's got a job to do, but thankfully she's done it really well, and everyone's going to be fighting fit come tomorrow.
Absolutely. There were some. We do have to talk about Ash Young. We didn't really mention him on Tuesday night, but he made his debut. With Luke Griffiths being out, that kind of tallies with your thinking about strengthening the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ash did well. He came on. He gave us a level head on the pitch when things could have potentially been over. He came into his second position at right back. I thought he did really well. Tomorrow we'll probably just make the one change, which will be Jack sliding in there for Luke. But Ash gives us that midfield depth on the bench. And, you know, I said to him when he joined, you know, you're going to have to be patient. You're coming into a side that's on a good run. You're coming into a team that's very much together, trusting each other. But Ash will be a good player for us over the season. And, you know, I'm sure that he will take his opportunity when it's presented. But he knows, and, you know, he was delighted to join FC United. And, you know, he'll get his chance when that time comes.
We have had a question put on the forum, which I feel like I do have to ask you. We did ask you this a few weeks ago, but Paddy Wharton, where's he up to?
Paddy's still out injured. Someone else said that to me. It's like kind of the best kept secret. You know, Paddy's been injured, and I thought I'd explain that, you know, on the radio, and I was explaining my interviews. Paddy strained his knee ligaments in an accident outside of football. He's been working with Luke. He's probably about 2 weeks away from training, and he's probably maybe about 4 weeks away from first team competitive football. But, you know, we're lucky that we've got Cam standing in for him, but Paddy hasn't been AWOL. He was at training last night. He was seeing Liv. He's usually tucked away somewhere at the back of the stand on match day. He'll be there tomorrow. So it'll be great to get him back. Young Mason's on the bench, deputising for Cameron. But no, Paddy is injured. He doesn't need a scan. You know, somebody said that we were thinking about referring him for a scan, but he doesn't. The injury's healing quite well. The typical grade 2 injury that he's received is about 6 to 8 weeks, and that's what he's likely to be out for.
There we go. We have asked the question then. Best kept secret and all that. All right, okay. Just to say then, obviously, Gainsborough tomorrow. The way the league's shaping up, it could go one of two ways tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We could see ourselves a lot closer to the likes of Basford and Lancaster, or we could be back in that mid-table blob. So, I mean, how are you thinking ahead of this game tomorrow?
Into November, he's definitely above our target that we set going into November. So, you know, we'll fully accept where we are, and I think we deserve to be where we are, particularly the recent run we've been on. Look at our away record, which is, you know, probably one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. You know, one defeat in the league away from home, which came at, you know, first game of the season. But for us, you know, we're always looking up now, Ben. Let's not take anything for granted. Let's not look at the league table tomorrow, because Gainsborough are in a false position. Curtis Woodhouse has gone in there. I think he signed 4 or 5 players this week. They've won 4-0 on Tuesday night. They're desperate to stay at Gainsborough. They're going to try and impress him. They don't need any motivation when they turn up at Broadhurst Park. So tomorrow's going to be a really difficult game. And, you know, we're without one of our better players in Luke Griffiths. And, you know, probably people aren't 100% but are going to play tomorrow. So tomorrow's a really difficult game. But we always look up. You know, the attitude of the squad is this week. We know our points total that we expect from tomorrow. And we'll be doing everything we can do to win the game. Although it'll be a difficult game, but I think there'll be a good crowd on. I think people have been pleased with what they've seen recently. I just want everyone to get behind the lads and cheer them on to get that vital 3 points. Because if we do, like you say, you know, we get closer to the top of the league, and we're in that top five, Ben, and we don't want to relinquish our position, if I'm being honest.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there speaking to Ben on Friday ahead of the league game with Gainsborough Trinity. To hear how FC got on Saturday, it's over to our FC live team at Broadhurst Park.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Broadhurst Park. As the rain comes down here in North Manchester, the pitch is very sprightly.
this afternoon, I think is the term. Swampy's with me for this opening gambit, as is Stato Paul.
Good afternoon.
Paul had a stat which he's given up updating us on, which was how many teams we've come across this season who've got XFCs in the starting 11, and hopes were high that we're about to meet a team this afternoon that wasn't going to have an XFC in there. But lo and behold, Lloyd Allenson's in goal, Paul, for Gainsborough.
I think it's probably around about 16 out of 19,
which is a lot.
Let's just hope he's not the pantomime villain this afternoon. Or maybe we want him to be. It's Halloween after all, isn't it?
Speaking of Halloween, there was obviously a frightful night at Stainton Park in Radcliffe and on Tuesday.
Well, there were some horror shows.
Wow. Just to say, fears that, you know, it would be like some kind of film scene from Platoon or something. It's all right. We've got a lot of players who featured on Tuesday night who've passed fitness tests and have made it for today's selection, Swamper.
Ben, it was a rough and tumble game. There's a few, shall we say, Roy Sewell type challenges perhaps in his early playing career, and we got through it and we got the victory as well, and we got the victory without having to rely on extra time or penalties, so it was a good result, and we move on to play our friends from Basford, Baysford, depending where what opinion you have on that name. Let's ask Keg.
That's for next week. Obviously, to league matters. Gainsborough Trinity have had a sluggish start to the season. Paul, got a new manager, Curtis Woodhouse, has joined them, formerly of Gould and Tadcaster, and the boxing ring.
It depends which one's going to turn up. If it's the one pre-Curtis Woodhouse, they've lost all six aways in the league. If it's the one that won 4-0 at Dunstan in the FA Trophy on Tuesday, we're in for a stiff task this afternoon.
Let's not forget they also played Bamber Bridge, beat them, I think, 4-1, and then they were beat the week after by 3-0 as well. So you're right, Paul. And I think we'll see a new team today from them. They've got four players that they've brought in that are making their debut this afternoon. A little bit of quality from Hull City. They've got a couple of players that obviously we know Lloyd Allison and his capabilities. So they'll be looking to impress their manager this afternoon. It's going to be a different type of game that we probably would have had 2 or 3 weeks ago under that regime. But, you know, we'll see today what they're capable of.
They've also got the muscular Gavin Allett. Yeah. He scored a hat-trick against us for Frickley 5 years ago.
A player that was very, very comfortable living in his own
area Gavin of the country.
Gavin Allett, sort of like sense out of the world, because he was such a good quality player, and he's still got great quality now. And it's just unfortunate that many a team who went in for him never got him. He's gone up and down that corridor, hasn't he? And
did we last see him at Boston?
Yes,
we did.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. And also, we should mention Brody Litchfield, another old boy on the bench.
Yes, Brody Litchfield, formerly of this parish, comes with a big reputation. He's a cracking player. It just didn't really work out here, did it?
Brody, yeah, but he wasn't here. He wasn't here particularly long enough. He's quite a slice, isn't he? He's not the strongest of players, and he was learning his craft. And I think he went out on loan last season, and never came back really. He had good pedigree. He was a player that we'd looked at and recommended to the club actually at that early stage with Tom Greaves in the managerial seat,
so
as it was.
Our fault, is what you're saying?
No, because he had good quality about him. And it shows he's got quality, because he's capable of playing in this division, because he's here at Gainsborough today.
Just to talk about some of the injuries, obviously, Potts was caught in a leg sandwich. He does start. Doyle is the one, though, isn't it, where that eye injury he's got, it looked nasty on Tuesday.
Multiple stitches.
Well, they look bad anyway, don't they? I mean, it's just the nature of where they are. I mean, he's keen to play. He'll be playing today, whether he'll be wearing a school cap or he'll be wearing an eye patch. Who knows? He might borrow one from the Halloween party from the kids.
We've played Gainsborough seven times. Six of those games have been decided by a one-goal margin.
Okie dokie.
So tight game is the theme in the past. Whether it continues or not, I don't know. The odd one out was the 5-1 when we nearly relegated them.
It's interesting as well where
that was the last game of the season here at Brothers Park, and the following day I went to watch Manchester United versus Fulham, a 0-0 enthralling encounter that was, I can tell you.
It's interesting as well where FC United find themselves at the moment, currently in fifth, 1 point behind Warrington, but
lose today.
Warrington are 4 points ahead of Grantham, who are 14th in the league. So a win today, get away from that blob in the mid-table, and it starts to look...
You've used that twice, one on Red Rebel Radio yesterday.
For different listeners. We've got different audiences on this radio station.
We turned it to Blumange, actually. It wasn't a blob, it became a Blumange yesterday. No, you're right, but equally, FC can go down to... probably could drop down to 10th, depending on results, even 14th.
There are a few teams below us who played less games, beware.
Whitby and Nantwich and Morpeth, I think, because of their FA Cup runs that they've had.
But, you know, it's... as Neil said, we just did a show with Neil earlier on, and you'll be able to maybe see that a little later on, either this evening or sometime over the next few days on FCUnited.tv, a new feature that's going to be shown in the coming weeks. And Neil said, as I said quite clearly, so look, we know what they're capable of. We go out and play our game. We know what the danger people are. Obviously, there's four new players, so they had a look at them, those few players that they know the quality, the pedigree of. But it's going to be a very interesting afternoon of football. FC, best away record in the division so far, and playing good quality football.
And I'm sure Neil will give his usual pep talk before the game.
I think as well, Lancaster are playing South Shields today. So someone above us is going to be dropping points, which is also just another thing to throw into the mix. It was a tough night on Tuesday night.
Yes, it was. Yeah, of course it was. Yeah.
How do you go about, you know, going from that to this? You know, if you're a centre back like Chris Doyle, you've got to be marking Gavin Allett tonight.
It's going to be thriving it, absolutely thriving it. And also they were in a battle, and some players love that battle. And what it showed is that FC United galvanised, they worked hard, they never got themselves, you know, a load of bookings. Unfortunately, we lose one player today through bookings, who for me has been the talisman of the team, a joy to watch in Griffiths.
That's why we got Ashley Young in, because Griffiths collects yellow cards.
Well, I mean,
he's our new Dave Birch.
But he's not, because he's very innocuous. I mean, a lot of the yellow cards were unfounded, in fairness, I believe, but equally, he's such a good quality player. We'll lose something today with him not being on the pitch, but equally... That game on Tuesday, I mean, the challenges that were going in from Ratcliffe were...
We can say now, because me and James were a bit blindsided for the elbow, but we've seen the highlights back. It is an elbow. And the challenge from Metcalf, he might have got the ball, but he was flying in mid-air. We were behind him.
Yeah.
And he was hip high at the start of that journey he was on. He had any control in that challenge.
No, at all, you're right. The referee did the right thing. And as Roy Sewell, who's with us this afternoon, points out, he knows these players very well. He's had them at New Mills and other clubs. It's not in their character. It's not their nature. So they were wound up. The team had been wound up to a point where, you know, they unwound themselves and basically lost the plot. And you know, the most ardent supporter, when you look at those highlights, couldn't say, well, you know, that's not a yellow card, and that's not a penalty, or that's not a red card. So, you know, but that's gone now. Yep. And Neil, with the drilling today, you're going out today, you play your football, expansive pitch, good service, skinny as well. So it's a little bit heavier than it normally is, but it's going to be a good game of football.
Paul, just before we bring Roy in, closing stats to you for today.
Well, they've lost all their six aways. Four of those defeats were only by one goal margins. So again, tight margins this afternoon possibly could be the theme.
Well, thank you, Paul, for joining us. We'll hear from Paul again at half time, when he'll be joined by Woodsall, of course. But we are going to hand over to our expert commentary team in a second. Obviously, Swampy's still with us, but Roy joins us now.
Thank you, Ben.
Hi, Roy.
Hi, Ben.
Oops. We were just saying, obviously, Gainsborough, different animal, got a new management bounce, some new players in and all that. Enough time to gel, though, straight after Dunstan midweek?
Do you know why it really doesn't matter? Is that they'll be out to impress the new manager. End of story. That's my feelings. But I have to say one thing. You know, I'm looking at a lad on the bench there. Is that the Ross Hanna?
Yeah, it's right. Yeah. Ross Hanna actually became assistant manager.
Yes. Now he's gone back to just being a player.
Last season, he stepped up to the mark, didn't he?
And with Liam King.
With Kingy, and became the assistant and the manager. And they've done as well as they can, and then they've stepped down because they realised, you know, it's hard to do it.
It was like a Tom Greaves situation, wasn't it? They made the step up last year. They had that new management bounce kind of thing, and then it's just not worked out. But
well, what I've got to say is you've got two of the most prolific goal scorers at this level in that squad, in Gavin Allett and Ross Hanna.
Yeah.
So let's hope that they're over the hill and walking down it rather than at the top of the hill and enjoying it.
Well, the teams are now out on the pitch, so it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon. This is FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. It's FC United against Gainsborough Trinity. Roy Sewell, but first, happy birthday, it's Swampy.
And it remains, if you just joined us on 20 minutes here, it's 0-0, FC United and Manchester. Certainly been the not... haven't been the dominating team. It's been mainly the visitors, but it's still a very even contest as the ball headed on by the number 11 Dunn, and FC United trying to win the ball back. Ooh, and the number two does well there, onside there for I've gathered that should be 1-0 to the visitors, and it certainly is. FC looking for an offside, and
offside.
The assistant referee not giving it, and it was that man that you don't want to have him in front of 10 yards in front of goal. Sidesteps FC United's Cameron Belford and slips it in very comfortably. Gavin Allott, the quality of him just separates the two teams on 21 minutes. It's FC United Manchester 0, Gainsborough Trinity 1, Roy.
Yeah, it was a great through ball, to be honest, from Middleton. And I feel that Gavin Allott wasn't offside. I felt that the kid on the other side, Mitchell Dunn, was offside. If the ball had been played towards him, or he'd have made the run towards the ball, the liner would have put his flag up. But Alec came from a deeper area. But like you say, when he gets those opportunities, you know, in and around that box, he's lethal.
So Corran preparing to take this free kick. Corran there. Straight at the wall, dear. Second time. Volley. Deflects. Jordan Buckley tries.
Oh, yes! Get in there.
1-1. Well, Jordan Buckley is a player who's growing into his role at FC United. It was a poor free kick straight at the wall, but to his credit, Corran hit the rebound on the volley, and then it kind of basically bounced to the feet of Jordan Buckley, and he took it very well and equalised. And as a few weeks ago at Staley Bridge, when FC went behind early, they found that he responded well with an equaliser. 1-1.
Well, he slung his left peg, and he's not really encouraged himself to use his left foot. But from 6 yards out, it's always worth a punt if you can get at least, you know, a decent little bit of accuracy on it, moving towards goal, and that's what he's done. Wrong-footed Allison completely.
Substitution for Gainsborough Trinity coming out.
And, well, Mitchell Dunn put his shirt over his head there as if to almost if say I don't want to come off, but he really is limping. And onto the field comes number 16 Ross Hannah, who Roy, before kickoff, was speaking to me in hallowed terms about, so could be a dangerous figure. Morrison, nice looking cross. Ooh. And Belford loses it. Oh, it's not gone it.
Thin.
Yes, it is a goal.
Rossano's first touch.
And Belford there losing that. Would you believe it? Belford there. Well, poor handling, Roy. And quick to leap on the opportunity was Hannah. It's 2-1 Gainsborough.
So to play for FC United. Oh. Offside decision against Gavin Allott. He saw the flag, looked across and carried on playing.
Well done, referee. That's first time I've seen a referee actually keep the game moving. And now an offside situation.
Ball chipped down this left-hand side. It's a chase off for Tundy. Tundy against the big number five, Thornton. And he beats him. Now, can he get to the penalty area? Yes, he can. Does really, really well. He's going to try the cute angle.
Boom!
My word! A cute angle. You can't believe where he just put that from. He's run down the left-hand side. He's beat the defender. He's hit the touchline. He's cutting. And he's bent it. Beckham-esque into the top corner. Allison, now she could do about that one. What a finish. Absolute cracker. I mean, the centre-half, Thornton, tried to win, in my opinion, win a free kick. He realised the referee wasn't going to blow for it. Tundy then shot along the byline, the dead ball line, and boom, right into that back post area, right into the top corner. Power, swerve, keeper had no chance. To the top 90, and well, it just goes to prove, I mean, he's the top goal scorer in the division at this moment in time. There weren't that many options on, to be honest. You were expecting someone else to be on the byline, whipping it into Tundy, but Tundy takes it on himself, and that was a tremendous finish. It's just now FC can keep the composure. 15 minutes to go here. That's an equaliser on 30 minutes of the second half gone, and 15 minutes for FC United to maybe get a winner, who knows. So that 3 minutes has gone to 1 minute, Ben. Goodness gracious, what happened to those 2 minutes we just talked about?
Time flies.
When you're having fun, yes. Ball down the right-hand side. Last opportunity for FC United. He's leaning on the ball. Can he get a corner? No, he gets a throw. He doesn't even get a throw. The ball comes out. And it's a challenge on the edge of the penalty area. But FC United have it now with Ennis. Ennis opens his body. Tries to get a shot away. Can he get the ball in?
Oh,
what a wonderful save at the near post. It was going to the top corner. Oh. And Lloyd Allison again. Well, the ex-FC United goalkeeper has made two terrific saves. And that save possibly is the save that they can take home and have a point, because it was a great save. It was great play from FC United of Manchester. This is the last opportunity. corner comes in, goes across everybody. Handball. Handball. And the referees give a free kick the other way anyway, so it won't make any difference.
Sunday Owalabi, handball, right hand.
And that should be the end of proceedings, because there's no way they're going to take less than a minute and a half to actually take the free kick.
Well, they'll be happy with this point, won't they?
Well, I oh, there you go. In fact, the referee doesn't even say there's enough time there. But two apiece here at Broadhurst Park in an entertaining game, second half. Very much so, FC United with more passion, more pizzazz.
More tempo.
More tempo, yes.
That was the thing.
And perhaps if there had been another 5 minutes, FC might have got on and won that. But equally, there was chances at the other end for the visitors. And it's two apiece here. And well, we're going to gather our thoughts, and while Roy decides, well, so we're gathering our thoughts.
I thought you were going to an advert.
We'll stop for a quick commercial break now. I would completely concur with you. I thought Simon Russell was excellent.
He was.
I thought Gavin Allott ran their line and held the line well. Got free kicks when he needed to, got positions where he needed to, and made it a hard afternoon for FC United of Manchester. You've also got the likes of, in the first half, Kingsley James Mitchell Dunn doubling up on Morris.
Yeah.
Made it hard for Morris. It was one of the hardest afternoons I think Morris has had at FC United since he's joined us. But overall, a very entertaining game. Second half, well, for me, Potts has just run that midfield. Second half, he was absolutely outstanding.
Exactly.
There's no question about it. Everything he did on the ball was with purpose, with quality. He was playing the balls diagonally. Everything you want from a centre midfield player.
What he did was he dropped a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
He dropped 20 yards deeper.
He gave himself, didn't
gave
he?
Gave him all the time and the moments to spot, you know, with a good awareness and vision, where to block the gaps, where to pick the loose ball up, where to dink it here, dink it there. And for me, I felt that he was the man of the match for FC.
I think you're spot on. Well, I tell you what, I mean, it's been a performance from FC this afternoon. They've had to work hard. They've earned the point. And in fairness, games which have earned their point as well. It's a game where you'll see two wonderful saves from Allinson. You'll see a good save in the first half, in the first 2 minutes, from FC United's Cameron Belfield. And you'll see a wonder goal from that man again, Tunde Oluwabi. Absolutely superb. I do think, because he's been such, for me, it's a pleasure to watch. We've missed Griffiths today, because Griffiths picks up all those balls that Pox doesn't, and vice versa, and that work rate together. No disrespect that there's anyone come in for them, but they've found it a little bit tough today, because we're playing against a team that in a false position in the division. There's no question about that. They've got quality, they've got a manager that believes in, and they believe in their new manager. They've worked hard, worked well, and well, as I say, two wonderful saves late on from Lloyd Allinson, absolutely two tremendous saves, which ordinarily you would think you've won the game, but it's finished 2-2, as simple as that. So we will take a small commercial break. Now we won't, will we?
I'll just read you out the half.
We'll do
the full-time scores.
Yeah.
Well, South Shields, who came into this afternoon with a five-point lead up at the top, that's been cut down to two now. Both Basford United and Lancaster City winning. Lancaster City winning at South Shields by one goal to nil. Basford United beating Atherton Colls by 3-1. That means the top three now: South Shields on 32, Basford on 30, Lancaster City on 30. There's a 5-point gap now back to fourth position, where Warrington Town find themselves. They beat Hyde United by 4-1 this afternoon. Then FC United stay in the playoff positions with that 2-2 draw today. They're 3 points behind Warrington, 1 point ahead of Matlock and Micklethwaite, whose match was postponed this afternoon. Grantham Town won this afternoon as well. They beat Scarborough Athletic by 2-1, so that moves Grantham up to 8th position. Whitby and Nantwich Town shared the spoils with a 3-3 draw. Witten Albion's match and Morpeth's game was postponed, so they don't move. Neither did Stalybridge. They were beaten by Radcliffe by 1-0. So Radcliffe, they're moving up away from the relegation spots. Dropping into the relegation spots, we've got Buxton. They went 1-0 up against Ashton, but Ashton United have won at Silverlands by 2-1. So Ashton have moved away from the relegation zone, Buxton in, and bottom of the table, Stafford Rangers. They were beaten this afternoon by Bamber Bridge by 2-0.
Ooh.
And that concludes
the full-time scores.
So we'll take a small commercial break. We'll be after these smart show messages, and we look forward to the chat with the boss. Until then,
where are you going?
I just thought I'd do that because...
No.
No, why?
No, let's talk about some of the star performances. You mentioned Potts there. He did spearhead that second half.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, by taking Lenehan off, as well as Hoff.
Well, he's been in...
By taking him off, it just gave him that little bit more room to manoeuvre around the field, to get the play in front of him rather than around him. And I felt that in the first half... You know, he was busy in there. He was getting pressured all the time. So he was getting a little bit ratty on certain occasions, like, you know, where he felt there was a little bit of injustice, you know, off the referee for not giving free kicks and what have you. I felt that...
Shall we talk about Tundi as well? Because Tundi was the outlet in that second half.
Tundi in the second half every time
You said every time he'd got the ball, Fonten and Stainfield's face is dropped.
Stainfield? I was watching his face then.
I don't think his face is stained. I think he's got something else stained as well.
You know what he looked? He looked like a Halloween mask. He looked and went, oh, no. You know, not again. I've got to chase out here. And it's funny enough, Thornton never made a move from out of the middle. He just expected Stainfield to keep making them runs. Oh dear, it was funny.
It was Thornton who was the one who was caught out by Tundi for that second goal.
It was.
Wait for it on FCN TV. It's an absolute belter of a strike and finish.
Well, he beat him a little bit before that, and Thornton gave a corner away. And he got him in exactly the same position again, right? Now, Thornton, when he gave the corner away, was expecting to get a free kick. And the referee said play on, so he got up all in one movement sort of thing. But the second time, he actually tried to get across him to stop his speed and his run. And in the same process, as he went to block him... Tundi just got a little touch on the ball that knocked it past him, and he went with the ball, and next minute he just made a little bit of an angle for himself, and it was only a slight angle, and he absolutely
place that would have that could have gone.
He just crushed it with the inside of his foot into the top 90. It was an absolute bullet rocket exocet strike on the ball.
There was a couple of saves towards the end there. I was laughing at you and trying to compose myself. There was a couple of saves there.
Laughing with me.
Yeah, and that. There was a couple of saves there by Lloyd Allenson at the end. He's obviously, you know, he's had his critics at FC, but he's come back and
he pulled two saves off
borderline, man of the match, borderline.
Well, I won't go as far as that.
He's got them a point.
Should we get him up and have a chat to him?
There was other players, though, I felt on his side. I mean, I felt the number two, Kingsley James, I thought he had a quality. You can look through their team, you know, and they all had decent games, and they took one of the best players off in Bobby Chadwick. And, you know, Billy Chadwick, should I say. And because I thought he had a cracking game in the centre of midfield. But, you know, the thing that was missing from the first half, and I said it in the first half off FC, was the tempo of the game. They were just plodding along.
I mean, this is a question for Neil. I mean, the team we finished that game with there, it was just filled with pace, with skillful players. It had Myers up front, and it kind of worked, didn't it?
Well, I thought Linney had a decent game as well, because Linney, you know, he was... He doesn't seem to have a set position here. You know, he's played through the middle, he's played out on the flanks. But today I just felt he was allowed to maybe drift it across into the middle and find the spaces for himself.
What I think changed the game as well, I think there was a good substitution with bringing Ennis on, because it gave us more width, because he was either on the left-hand side or the right-hand side, and we open play a little bit more than we did with Jordan Buckley, because we're going through the middle with Jordan. He's a centre-forward, he scored, he took his goal very, very well. But I think Ennis just gave that extra bit of impetus, Potts dropping slightly deeper than he was, and then dictating play. And then you've got... I mean, I'm going to just tell you what I think of the game, i.e. in
ratings.
In ratings. I think Cameron Belfield today, 5. because
the mistake.
The mistake is a poor. I think Aaron Morris has had his worst game for FC, so he's got a 5. Adam Dodd, just 7-8 every time, isn't he? And he, again, a 7 for him. Jack Lenehan, I think I give him a 5. He played, only 45 minutes, really. I thought Curtis Jones and Chris Doyle both on 7s because they were resolute against two very good centre forwards, and they marshalled them well, even though they were up against them. I thought Alex Curran, probably 6.5, maybe
7,
a 7. Potsy a 9, Tundy a 9. I thought Jordan Buckley, in the first half, his goal, the way he took it, I didn't give him a 7. I thought Regan,
I wouldn't go as high as that.
Well, it's all about opinions. Regan Linney, definitely an 8, absolutely superb performance. Thought Paul Ennis, I'd give Paul, even for only came on for 20 odd minutes, he's got a 7 for me. Donoghue, again, 6 because he's come on for the last parts of the game, and Lewis Myers a 6. That's the kind of thing you get for them as well. They're all 8s and 7s pretty much for their team as well, The keeper's got Allison's an 8, Kingsley James an 8, Jamie Green a 7, Harry Middleton a 7, Willie Thornton a 7, Willie Thornton, I've just said Willie Thornton. I didn't see that baldy man on there.
Yeah, queued him up.
Stainfield number 7, Chris Morrison, Billy Chadwick number 8, who they brought off. I mean, he's the lad, the under 23 from Hull. He had a terrific game, and he is a box to box midfield player. He's only 19 years of age, making his debut. He's done really well. Alec was, for me, it was an 8, and Simon Russell definitely a 9, and Michael Dunn, even though he went off in the first half, I thought until he went off he was superb.
He was he's the kind of
player that he's like a Carlos Rocca type winger, and that kind of quality was there. So, but forget what we think, because it doesn't really matter. What does matter is what the boss thinks of us. So we're about to ask the boss what he thinks of us and what he thinks of today's 90 minutes. Neil, thanks for coming up quickly again. Okay. I spoke to you before the game, and we did a talk on FC MTV. Did the game go according to what you thought it would today?
Right, listen, let's not dress it up. We weren't good enough first half. I'm not going to stand here and say we were. We wasn't. We got caught by the new manager syndrome. We got caught by a team wanting to impress. We got a team that, flew out of the changing rooms, and we just didn't adapt to it. I think we massively missed Luke Griffiths today, because he helps us play through the lines, and he's got that long, if you will, quarterback pass to get us out in that short game, and brave to get on it. But that's not me highlighting the lad who took Luke's place. I just don't think that intensity was there. I don't think with Potts and Lenehan and Curran in there, we just didn't get going. And listen, when it's got to go off at half time, it goes off, and there was choice words said, and I'm not one for doing it, but today it had to be done. And I kind of give it 7 minutes in the second half, and I made the changes. Once the changes were made, I think we were massively on the front foot and unlucky not to win the game.
Tempo-wise, in the first 45 minutes, you've got to be, from your standards, you're going to be quite disappointed, because we seem to have played what we thought our tempo should be, but forgetting that their tempo was twice as good as ours.
I think you've done it. I think you put it diplomatically, Swampy. Disappointed. I'm absolutely furious with the tempo of the first half. And there's no rhyme or reason for it, because the warm up was great, the lads' attitudes in there, the music was going before the game, everything was right. We were going to stick to the game plan. There was too many people had an off day in the first half, and it shouldn't take for the manager to come in at half time and, not turn things upside down, but to actually point fingers and say, listen, this isn't good enough, that's not good enough, and look people in the whites of their eyes and say, seriously. And then we get a reaction in the second half. But we did so many things wrong in the first half. And, if I just give you one for example, Gavin Allen, who's been around this league a long time, he pulls off to the fullback time and time again. Curtis Jones doesn't go with him, which then creates an overload on here. The 3 goals, the 11 goals and the 9 goals. And I said, that's just you, Kurt, not taking responsibility, passing on without information. That's not what we do. We go, you come across with a 9, Aaron drops off, Doyle comes across, Doddy comes in, bang, things that we work on all the time. And that's why we're so annoyed, because there was no information and we didn't work it out on the park. And you can't be reliant on your manager for 90 minutes screaming instructions at you. We're in November now and we know what we do. That said, second half, they took it on board, and I thought they were outstanding. I thought we got Dodd into the game, who we didn't in the first half. I thought we got Morris in, I thought 2 centre-halves stepped out every single time. Got Potts on the ball, and then we became a threat at
that's
the top
your
of the pitch.
Getting Potsy on the ball, because I felt that when Lenehan come off, he slotted back that 20 yards or so, and it all opened up for him, and the ball started pinging in there. He was covering holes and little gaps that were being created. He just swept up on everything. And to be honest, I said to Swampy, I felt he was the man of the match.
Yeah.
Because in the first half, he was ticking along at a good, steady pace. Mm. And he was having a go at the referee a little bit, you know, on little injustices he felt. He was the main man.
Listen, on that, Roy, and you're right, you know, Jack Lenhens played today. He hasn't played as much football as what he would like. He's a very, very, very good footballer. You know, and me, maybe I look back on it, maybe he isn't a deep-line midfielder, but I didn't want to change the structure of the team too much, so I asked Jack to drop in there, what Luke did. Listen, it just didn't happen. But Jack Lenhens, even though he's come off after 52 minutes today and he hasn't played so much, he's a very good player and he will play a big part in this team.
I didn't think he was a problem.
No, but I thought what you said is...
He ticked along.
Yeah, well, I think when Potsy dropped deep, it put Donners on in there who then stretched playing.
Yeah.
And we had a go with him, you know. Wow, you know, the equaliser is, it's just a wow moment, isn't it? And then straight after that, and then we just kept getting in time and time and time again. And, you know, we do that with Sunday. You probably see we go right, left, and then go down the middle because it just gives people something to think about. And, you know, I'm happy with the point. I'm happy with the character. I'm happy with the reaction. Take away where Gainsborough in the league, you know. And, you know, I'm happy for them to get a point as well because I think on the balance of play, it's a point.
They deserve it.
I think, you know, which I haven't said a lot this season, I thought the officials were outstanding.
Yeah.
I really do. I think the way they talked. I think I really enjoyed their bench. You know, they were professional. We were professional. And, you know, overall, it's a point. You know, probably people looked at it and went fifth against second from bottom FC will win. Well, no, you don't do that because they had a right goal today. You know, and
they're also I've got a lot of quality on that pitch, and they've been there for a reason. You can see them. I think they'll be happy with the point. And we've said ourselves, I mean, we've done the sort of like, you know, players out of 10, and pretty much, you know, it's even Stevens between the two teams. I mean, there's some notable good quality performances from, I mean, Lloyd Allison made an absolute two world-class saves, absolutely outstanding. You know, the likes of Simon Russell, their number 10, just top draw.
Top, I mean,
you know, he hits the crossbar in the first half. I mean, and we could have, in the first 10 minutes of that first half, we could have been maybe two
listen,
down.
Swampy, listen, I don't know if you realise as the radio crew, Gavin Allen goes through there. The linesman gives offside. The referee says play on. When he puts it into the keeper, he thinks he's offside. He's onside. If he just carries on going, we're 3-1 down.
Yep.
You know, this isn't, you know, there's lots of things that have happened today that we're not going to gloss over. But on the whole, and I think you hear the fans, you know, second half, and everyone's saying, great second half, that's how we want to play. I think we had a real goal. What we've got to do now, and Swampy alluded to it in the, you know, the TV coverage before the game, we've got to put it all together all the time. And we do in games, but we don't in games. And we've got to iron that inconsistency out and make it consistent for longer periods than 45 minutes.
Well, in the first 15 minutes, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken-ish, I said to you that the tempo is being dictated by the visitors.
Yes.
And we need to up our tempo. There wasn't a great deal of, you know, issues with the way we was playing. Mm. It's just the tempo we was playing at. And that's what was causing our problems and inviting them onto us.
I fully agree with you. I agree. Every week I come up here, you know, you know football, you talk sense, and, you know, hopefully that, you know, I'm an honest person as well, and, you know, I'm never trying to skirt over it. You were exactly right, and, you know, I think you've articulated your points well. Second half, we were much better, weren't we?
Yeah,
definitely. We were more like my side. You know, we're attacking, we've got energy, we're moving the ball in two touches, and, you know, another day we could go and win. You know, we could go and win. But like I said to the lads in there, that's three defeats in 16. You know, it's another hard fought point. You know, it's another test of character. And we've shown that.
South Shore's getting beat today at home again. You know, I mean, it just shows, you know, the Lancaster are doing well, Basford are doing well. You know, we're in a good position where we are. Yeah. You know, in fifth spot. You know, people can look over the shoulder. We don't have to look over our shoulder. We can just play our football. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, Griffiths is a miss.
Yeah, massive.
And any club is going to miss that quality of player, and you don't actually realise how much you miss him until he's not on the pitch. And you've said this, Roy, and you've said this yourself, Neil. We'll see. There's that the same thing when Dodds get injured, he didn't play. You'll see how much he's influencing the team and how good he is when he's not playing. And that show that today.
And you're exactly right. And this is, again, it looks like I'm being critical on people who've come in for Luke. I'm not. But with a squad and a budget that we've got, it's very hard for me to go and get another Luke Griffiths when Luke Griffiths is out injured or out suspended. And that's where we are. You know, we've got 17, 18. We've lost people. And, you know, I'll have to ask Luke to tighten up on his discipline because it's a big miss when he doesn't play. It's a bit like if you take Tundi out, if you take Doddy out. We're not blessed with that depth. You know, we're trying to build it, but it's also quite hard to do when you're playing non-contract basis, etc. You know, and we haven't got the money to do so. But, you know, that said, it's my squad, and I'm saying I'm going to have the squad. Well, it's the squad.
Yeah.
You know, if someone goes out, someone comes in, and I expect you as a squad player to live up to the expectation. And unfortunately today, I don't think enough people did that. But, you know, that's the week gone, and we've got to get ready for
it. I understand exactly what you're saying there, but, like, you don't want to... You're in the catch-22 where you don't want to take the edge out of him, you know, because that's part and parcel of his makeup. But he needs to show a little bit more team discipline where he's not a deficit for the side. You know what I mean? In the manner that he applies himself.
It was very quickly, actually, interesting you say that, because I was going to ask you earlier on, actually, about discipline, because it was something we've had a problem with over the years at FC. We're pretty much a well-disciplined unit nowadays, and that comes down the manager. You set the stall out, and we see that. I don't think the vast majority of yellow cards that Griffiths had got were worthy of yellow cards, but he's one of those players that just picks them up, it seems, and then before you know it, you've missed him. There is a good discipline within the team, and they are and they work professionally. They're not surrounding the referee and constantly barracking the referees. They're getting on with the game.
Yeah, but I think sometimes his verbals is what
it is.
Actually,
I mean, you never want to win that trophy, do you, the Fair Play Award? But what I do want to win is technical area points, because we're well disciplined. I want to win, you know, plaudits on the park for how we don't retaliate to the referee and retaliate to the other squad, a bit like what we saw in midweek. So we do work on that. You know, we work on it, and, you know, it's not just discipline on the park, it's discipline off the park, the way we treat the facility, sweep the dressing room out after training, after game. You know, there's a lot of discipline in that squad, but you're always going to get yellows, you're always going to get reds. But I think on the whole, you know, we have got a well-disciplined side. We've got a hungry side that want to do well.
Well, we've drawn here tonight at Broaders Park, and then obviously next Saturday it's the FA Trophy again against a team we've already played here, who are third in the division, not second actually in the division now, aren't they? They're second in the division. You know what to expect from them. What are your thoughts? You've got an entire week again, and you've been saying you've been looking forward to getting onto that training pitch rather than having to play Tuesday, then play the Saturday. So what's the week going to plan out like for yourself?
We'll train Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. You know, we know how we can beat Basford. We know about the threats. We also know at 1-0, you know, the freak goal that got a lot of attention. And we played really well that second half. We played well, I think, for the full game. We're just going to have to be at our best. You know, we're playing against a team that's well organised, well drilled, good experienced manager. But like everyone, I don't fear them now. You know, I've seen them. I respect them for who they are, but my team this week will work hard now to break down Basford next week, and I realistically think we won the game next week. I really do, because, you know, that hurt us the other week. You know, that hurt us, and, you know, when you remember the lad celebrating from 90 yards and running to the corner flag for the header, I remember things like that, and you've just got to remind the lads of it. We want to stay in the trophy. We want to get a good run. We want to be recognised. We want to be known. So we'll do a lot of work to get ready for it, and you know, come next Saturday, hopefully, we'll go and get the win, and we'll stay in the hat.
And as far as injuries are concerned, there's no worries about players here this afternoon. I mean, we knew a few players coming into it had injuries, but are they?
No, I think I better clear one thing up. Paddy Wharton, Paddy's got a strained knee ligament. He'll be back in training in 2 weeks' time, and he should be back, you know, in contention for the number one jersey in 4 weeks. So, you know, Paddy was here again today, but he'll be in the physio, and hopefully we'll get him back soon.
Well, listen. It's a hard fought point. It's been an entertaining game. Yes, there was some ups and downs. There were some great goals and some great goalkeeping saves. And we can say, again, well done. Working hard. We've stayed in fifth spot.
Yeah, good.
You know, so in that respect, it's good for us. And we're not on a losing streak. We've 3-16. Yeah. That's a cracky record. We've still got, you know, the best away record in the division as well at this moment in time. So things looking up next week. Hopefully another victory in the cup, and we go into the draw. Yeah. And listen, if anyone's out there that doesn't know now that Paddy Wharton isn't actually leaving the club, going to Real Madrid, or indeed going to Paddyham, he's basically injured. And you'll be able to listen to that on this show again. Yeah. Also, this club is my club. So until next week, my friend.
Well done, guys. Thank you.
Well played. And thank you. Thanks good very much for joining us.
Cheers. Thank you.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. As discussed there, FC United will be returning to action this Saturday when the Reds will be hosting Basford United in the second qualifying round of the FA Trophy. This match will be taking place at Broadhurst Park. Admission prices for this one will be £12 adults, £7 concessions, £3 under 18s. Kick-off on Saturday afternoon will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live from 2:30 p.m. online on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.